We dealt with verse number 12, talking about the persecution of the cross. And then verse 14 of Galatians chapter 6, the Bible says, "But God forbid," Paul says, "that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." And then we mentioned this morning also verse number 17, where Paul says he bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And so by that, Paul was stating he had suffered that persecution. He had suffered many things at the hands of religious people. And by the way, most of the problems that true Christians have comes from religious people. Doesn't come from Christians. It comes from folks that are religious. And they look at us and they see us as a threat to their particular society or their denomination. They see sometimes the truth that we preach in the Word of God is foreign to them because they are steeped in tradition. And so they certainly, as we mentioned, as we gave this morning, how that persecution has come and still is coming, and it will continue to come upon the true believer. And so tonight I want us to look on the other side. Not only is there persecution of the cross, but there's glory of the cross. And tonight we're going to be dealing with some of that glory, how that we are to live in the light of the cross, how we're to serve Him, and how we're to honor our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do that, as time progresses, if the Lord doesn't come in these days that are ahead of us, it could be very possible that we as believers in this country would bear in our bodies the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is that serious and it's that real because the devil hates us. And when the devil's in control, the Bible tells us there is much sorrow. When he has his people in control of things, then we are always left on the wrong side. Even though we're the right side, we are accused of being wrong when good is called evil, becomes effective in the life of the believer. And so if the Lord doesn't come, and we have no guarantee that He will come tonight or tomorrow, we just know He's coming. We're not sure when, and we have no way of putting a time or a date upon that. We know He's coming, but we don't know how long it's going to be before He does come. In my mind, I believe it could be tonight. In our hearts, we are hoping that it's very soon. But in His scheme of things and His ways that are far above ours, it may not be as soon as we think. And we could get into the point where that we bear the persecution that has been prevalent throughout the world from the very beginning of the early church until now. There has been much, much persecution. And so Paul tells us that he says, "God forbid that I would glory." And he said, "Except or save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so tonight I want us to consider some things and look at that, how that we should never forget the glory of the Lord, how that we should never go and forget what God has done for us, and that is the glory of the cross, how that He has blessed us in so many things, and there's some things that we should do. Turn back with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And we'll look at verse number 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 26. It says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." Here's the reason for that, verse 29, "that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Paul says to these Corinthian people, God doesn't choose the mighty. He doesn't choose the wisdom of the world. He does not choose that which is seemingly what ought to be chosen. And the people of the Lord, the people of God, have always been a weak and beggarly people, really. True people of the Lord have never really had a lot of means to do the work of God, but yet we do God's work by His grace, and He is able to supply those things. And Paul tells these Corinthian believers that God has chosen, He's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound or to confuse the wise. He's chosen what the world says is foolishness. You and I tonight, as far as the world is concerned, as far as people in Hopkins County, there are some of us that are really, really foolish for serving God the way we serve. To be sold out to God, to live for God and to live for the Lord. Some folks around watch you and they watch me and they'll say, my, what a shame that is to waste their time. And there is God confounding the wise, taking what they say is foolishness. God does not choose the mighty things. He chooses the weak. Because we think of weakness as being that we cannot accomplish. And the world says we must be strong. The world says that we must be mighty. But God uses the weak things to confound or to confuse even the mighty. He takes the things of the world that are despised. He takes you look at the first church, those apostles. They were despised of people around them. They were not mighty. They were not rich. They had not a whole lot of means. They were just people that most of them were fishermen and did their daily chores and daily work. And yet God chose them, and the Bible says that they turned the world upside down. God used the foolishness, and God used the weak, and God used those that were despised. And then God has even taken the things that are not to bring to naught the things that are. There are things that we don't see. God's working in the background, and He deals with that. And He says He does all this that no flesh should glory in His presence. And when we stand before God, we're not going to be able to say, look what I did. When we stand before the Lord, we're not going to be able to boast at how great we were or how mighty we were or how strong we were or how rich we were, because He has chosen the base things. He has chosen the weak things. He has chosen the poor things. He has chosen the things that are despised and foolishness to the world, that you and I would not be able to glory in His presence. Those verses there will literally put us in our place when we think about who we are and what God has done for us. And when we think about the cross, we certainly should never forget where we came from. We should never forget that we were a lost individual without God and without hope, that we had no way of escape except Jesus coming and saving our wretched soul. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, and begin reading in verse number 12, Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul says here as he's writing to Timothy, that young preacher, and Paul's getting ready to depart. He's getting ready to die. And he writes to Timothy, he said, I thank the Lord that He has counted me faithful, putting me and thrusting me into the ministry. And then Paul identifies himself, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. Paul said, I wasn't a really good person. I was a very wicked individual, but I thank God that He has chosen. You know what the Lord did? He chose the base things. He chose the one that was highly unlikely to be anything for God. And He chose Paul in a way that Paul was a despiser of the church, and he thought he was doing God's service by persecuting what was called people of the way and the Christians of that day. And Paul said, He chose me, He enabled me, but before that I was nothing more than a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. He said, but I obtained mercy. Thank God that Paul recognized what happened in his life was mercy. What happened in my life, in your life, was mercy. God showed us mercy. And now we can glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Paul says here on in these verses in 1 Timothy 1, he says, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. He said, I did those things ignorantly because I was in unbelief. Paul was doing what he had been taught. Paul was doing what religion had told him to do. Paul was a Pharisee, and the Pharisees' religion was one that would tear down and destroy anybody that would dare to question them. He said, I did those things ignorantly in unbelief. He says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There's where our glory is, that Christ came into this world to save sinners. And Paul again identifies himself, of whom I am chief. Paul felt as though he was the worst of all men. He felt as though he was the worst of all sinners. But he said, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy. Now, the mercy of the Lord came to Paul, even though he was a chief of sinners, even though he was wicked. He said, but obtain mercy that in me Christ Jesus might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And so Paul, to the Corinthian church, he said, we have nothing to glory in. We have nothing to rejoice in. And Paul said, here's my testimony. I was an accuser. I was a persecutor. I was injurious to people. And Paul even stood by as they stoned Stephen to death, and he gave his approval upon that. And Paul said, I am the least of the apostles. There in Corinthians 15:9, he said, I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. You see, Paul, I don't believe he ever got away from some of the things that he did in his past. But he always comes back to that statement, I obtained mercy. And thank the Lord for mercy tonight. And we certainly have no room to glory except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never forget where we came from. Never forget who we are. We are but flesh. We are sinners in the sight of God. 1 Corinthians 15 says, but by the grace of God I am what I am. What I am, it's by God's grace. And what you are tonight, it's by the grace of the Lord. And he says, His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. And so Paul says, don't forget who we are. Don't forget where we came from. Don't forget what's in our life. And give all the honor and glory unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in Ephesians 3:8, unto me, who am less and the least of all saints. He said, I'm the least of the apostles in Corinthians. And then the book of Ephesians, he said, I'm the least of all the saints. Paul recognized that without God, he was nothing. That without the Lord coming and showing him mercy. And he said, I'm really the least of all saints. Is given grace is given. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You and I tonight, we have been blessed so much that God has opened unto us the unsearchable riches of His Word. And we can obtain that and we can share that and we can go out and tell the world the message of salvation. And we are not mighty, we are not noble, we are not strong, but God uses and confuses the wise and the wisdom of this world by the Word of God that we stand upon and preach. Therefore, we glory in the cross. That is the glory of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should never forget who we are or what we are. We should never forget who He is. That's the important thing, who He is. He, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, but God, while we were yet sinners, He came and died for us. The Bible tells us God talks unto Moses, and Moses said, who am I going to tell that has sent me? And there in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, God says to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. I am what I am, Paul says. And so we are what we are, and God is I am. He is the great I am. And so therefore we have the message to preach and to give forth the salvation story to everybody, to the entire world. They'll not all hear, they'll not all respond, but we are under commandment to go into all the world and preach the gospel because Jesus Christ is God. We hear a lot today about different gods and different deities, supposedly, but there's only one, and His name is Jehovah. There's only one, His name is Jesus, and we are to declare Him. We should never forget who He is. Blessed be His glorious name forever, David says in Psalm 72. John 3 and verse 30, John the Baptist says, He must increase, I must decrease. And at that time, John the Baptist had a great following, had a great multitude of people following his preaching. And he was preaching repentance, for the kingdom of God is at hand, had a great multitude following him. But yet one day he saw Jesus and he said, He's the one, and He must increase, I must decrease. I'm not worthy to even unloose His shoes. He's the one. Behold the Lamb of God. And so we should never forget who the Lord is. 1 Timothy 1:17, we read that just a moment ago, says, Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So that puts our Lord in a high perspective. Who are we? We're nothing. What are we? We are very simple and very unpredictable. But who's God? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the wise God. He's our Savior. And even Jude, verse 25, little old book of only one chapter, Jude, verse number 25, says, To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. So there is the high and lifted up majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the glory of the cross. That's the message that we have to the world. And we should never forget who Jesus is, and we should never forget what He has done. Praise the Lord, what He's done. If we take time tonight, we could go around the room and say, What's He done for you? Oh, we'd be here a while. Well, He woke us up this morning for one thing. That's just today. He's given us life. He's given us food. He's given us blessing. He's given us salvation. We can go on. The list could go on and on, that each of us. And then we could come down to some very personal things. What has He done for me? What has He done for me that maybe it hasn't touched anyone else, but He's blessed my heart. And maybe hasn't influenced anybody else, but He sure has blessed me and has given me. And so we should never forget who He is and what He's done. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein time past you walked according to the course of the world. In days gone by, we did like we're supposed to do. We were sinners, and so therefore we lived like sinners. That's in days past. We followed the course of the world according to the prince and power of the air. We followed the old wicked one. We followed the devil, and we followed the leadership of the wicked one. That's in days gone by. Thank God what He's done for me now. He has saved me by His grace, and He has given me a Savior. He's given me a life. The Bible says in Romans 11:36, For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. That verse, Paul just says, of Him. Everything is of Him. Everything's through Him. Everything's to Him. All things are because of Him. And glory forever and ever. Paul goes on in the book of Philippians. He says, Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul said, Everything that I've lost is just the waste of the world. It's just nothing. And I have a problem sometimes with folks that they want to brag on what they've given up for the Lord. We haven't given up anything. He gave His life. He's given up. He gave up heaven. He gave up the glory of the eternity that came and put Himself in the confines of a body of flesh, and He was constrained by days and weeks and the minutes and the hours. He was constrained like you and I. He had those things that bogged Him down, and He gave up everything that I might have the glory of the Lord. So we don't need to brag on what we've given up. We just need to brag on what He's done for us. That's who He is. That's what He's done. That's how He's blessed us. We glory in the cross because of who He is, because of His person. That verse tonight that we read first there in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, sort of that text verse, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we, because of who He is, and because of that, the world has been crucified to me and I've been crucified to the world. The persecution has come, but it's all null and void. It has no effect upon us because of the blessings of Jesus Christ, the person. We glory in the cross of Christ. It's not necessarily the cross. There was three crosses that day. We don't talk anything about the cross of the one on the right and the one on the left, other than one was a cross of rejection. He said, I'll not have it. You who you say you are, get down off the cross, save yourself, save us. He is more interested in himself than he was the Lord. Sort of like Judas when he said he repented within himself. He was more interested in himself than he was repentance. And so we have the thief that rejected on a cross. We won't say too much about that cross. We have the thief on the other side that he received, he believed, and Jesus gave him that wonderful hope and that wonderful promise, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. But we don't say too much about that cross. Oh, but that one on the middle cross, we talk about him. That middle cross is the one that held the Lord of glory. That middle cross is the one that constrained him, and the nails was through his hands and his feet, and the scars upon his body are there because of our sin. And so we glory tonight in the cross because of who he is. We glory not in a piece of wood that makes a cross. We don't worship a cross. We don't have a crucifix. We don't have the Lord still on the cross. Thank God he's out off the cross and he's in heaven. He's coming back again, and the cross is in the background for him. And there's so many that they hold their crucifix. They pray to their crucifix. They do all those things because he's still on the cross. But thank God it is the one on that cross that died and rose again. Last Sunday was Easter. He rose again the third day, and now we have life. So therefore we glory because of his person. We glory because of its price. It was a price that had to be paid. We dealt a little bit with that this morning, how that he shed his blood. The payment was the life blood. Acts chapter 10, verse 39, Luke writes these words. He says, we are witness of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Luke said, we are witnesses what he did in Jerusalem. We are witnesses of what he did in Judea. We are witnesses of what he did in the land of the Jews, that they put him on a cross and they slew him. We are witnesses of that. That's the price that he paid. Then Peter, the apostle Peter, that, as I've said so many times, he's my favorite. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things, and then he says, what are those? It's silver and gold and things that we think are precious. We're not redeemed with those things of corruption, but from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your father. But we're redeemed. Verse 19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, the Lamb of God. That's the price of our redemption. That's the price of the glory of the cross. It is that man on the middle cross that did the work. And so therefore, we glory in that cross. And Paul said, I've suffered persecution. I have the marks of that in my body. But I glory in that cross because what it's done for me and the price that was paid. And I have been purchased. Thank God tonight, you and I that are saved, we've been bought with a price. We're no longer our own. We've been purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, we are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Luke says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. And then he tells us what to do, to feed the church of God. And then he says, which he hath purchased with his own blood. There's the purchase. The people of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that I believe that church there, he's talking about local congregation. God has taken and he's purchased his church with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the price. We're the purchased possession. We have received the pardon. We have received redemption through his blood. You notice all these verses talk about the blood? That's what it's all about. We mentioned this morning how many folks have taken the blood out of their songbooks. I remember years ago that certain denominations, they would have their big meetings. That's when all the big shots get together and decide what little squirts do, like you and I. And so they decided we're going to take the songs out of the songbook that has anything to do with fighting, because they don't want to fight. We're going to take all the songs out of the song that has anything to do with the blood. They're going to change some wordings of the song because it's sort of offensive to us, even though they use scriptural terms in the songs that they had. And so they turned their back upon that, and they vote, and they get in their conclave, and they vote what goes on down here, down there. I'm so glad I don't have to bow to those places. I'm glad that we decide here what we desire, what we want. Sometimes we may do wrong. Sometimes we may make the wrong decisions, but it's nobody's business but ours. And God can correct His church. God can take care of His church, and God will deal with His church. There's no such thing as the collective church. And Jesus Christ died for His church and gave Himself for it, and therefore, seven of them are mentioned in the book of the Revelation, and many of the books of the Bible that we have in the New Testament are letters that are written to churches, individual churches. And so, the purchase is the child of God. We've been pardoned. The handwriting and the ordinances has been blotted out that was against us, he says in Colossians chapter 2. It's amazing how much Paul knew about righteousness and holiness. All these verses I've given you tonight, except one by Peter and a couple by Luke, all of them are by the Apostle Paul that says, I'm least of all the apostles. All these verses that open up a world of doctrine that we can believe and stand upon is given by that preacher, that apostle that said, I'm the least of all the saints. God uses the beggarly things to confound the wise. And the Apostle Paul, in his books, there are some things that the wisdom of this world can never, never find the treasure. There are things that Paul has written that the most studious, spiritual person that could live and study God's Word, it just goes deeper than we can go. It goes deeper than the professor can go. It goes deeper than the philosopher can go. It's the Word of God, and God just used a man named Paul that said, yes, Lord. He just used a man that was on the road to Damascus to kill and to destroy the children of God in Damascus. Had the paperwork ready to put them in prison and bind them and even to kill them if need be. And yet, the Lord, Paul says, by His mercy, showed grace unto him and gave him these wonderful things. And we have what we have tonight. We believe what we believe tonight because there was a man by the name of Paul who was Saul of Tarsus, but he became Paul. And God used him and God blessed him and God gave him the mysterious things of the work of the Lord. And Paul even talks about the mysteries and those things that he wrote about. But there's the pardon that we have from Jesus Christ. There's the peace that comes to us. There's the promise. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He says, I'm the door. If any man shall enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He's the one. Jesus Christ is the center of all things. He's the center of all the things of life. He's the center that we have. And we glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to verse number 14. Very imperative that we understand the cross. It's very important that we understand what happened that day as we catch a glimpse of the work of redemption that takes place. Sanctification came and was offered. Salvation came and was offered. That word sanctification scares a lot of people to death. Justification scares people. They're big words, and anymore people are too lazy to find out what they mean. Somebody said the other day, I believe it's somebody that even came to enroll in school, and they said, how in the world do you understand that King James? Well, they may not understand it at home, but they're going to have it here. And how in the world? And so many times, I want to tell people, wonder how my grandfather, wonder how my dad that had a sixth grade education got saved. I wonder how those Old Testament or those older folks of our generations before, wonder how they were so spiritual. They couldn't, all they had was King James. That's before the publishing houses started making millions of dollars and calling them Bibles and gave us a bill of goods. Wonder how they were so spiritual. Many of them couldn't even read their names written in boxcar letters, but yet they knew God. And the only book they had is the book we use. I wonder how they did that. We have gotten so smart today, we can't understand it. I mean, it's simple. I believe, if I remember correctly, King James is written in 6th or 7th grade level. The newer ones are written about 9th grade level. Oh, but they're so much easier to understand. Yeah, take the blood out. Take a lot of things out. Take hell out. Put in gods. Take out, put in, change around, move around. And before long, you don't have anything that even resembles the Word of God. The devil has a heyday in that. The publishing houses, they've gotten very rich on that. And this old book here just continues to trot along and gets the job done. This book here, you can write it out. You can publish it. You can do anything you want to. It doesn't have any copyrights in it. Now, Mr. Schofield's notes does, so you better be careful with him. But the Word of God, you go down here to the dollar store and pay $1.50 for a paperback book. It's called the Bible. It has on the outside KJV. You can put that out anywhere you want to put it because there is no copyright on that. You don't do that to those others because you know why? They want this. They want the money. Everything else is copyrighted, but we have a book that's real tonight. I don't know how I got off on that. My goodness, that's not in my notes. That's how you get in trouble. But tonight we glory in the cross and He gives us sanctification. That's where we were, sanctification. And we have a word that a lot of people don't understand, and there is a positional sanctification in that I have been saved, I have been placed into Christ. That's my position. I have been sanctified. Somebody said, oh, you mean you're perfect? No, I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm talking about being sanctified. I'm in Christ. That's my position. I'm in Him. Y'all look sometimes in your concordance or on your computer and just type in your Bible program, in Him or in Christ, in Jesus. Find out how many times. We are in Christ because of what He did for us. We're in Him. And so that's my position. Now, there's a progressive sanctification that needs to take place, that will take place in the child of God that's born again. That means we just sort of begin to make progress in our walk with the Lord. We learn the easy things. Paul says it's the milk of the Word. And then he says, I should be able to teach you some meat of the Word. That means there should be progress in our life that we can handle some of the harder things. That's why Paul tells us in his books that when we have pastors and deacons, we don't put in novice. We don't put in people that don't have any understanding. We don't put in folks that don't know the Word of God. That's a novice. You've got to have a progression of understanding and learning. That's a progressional sanctification. But I'm glad, thank God, there is a permanent sanctification that's coming one day. When the Lord comes and He changes these vile bodies into His glorious body, that's that blessed hope that Titus tells us about that we have in Christ. And so we have those things in the Lord, a permanent sanctification. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, is that what we glory in? Then we have the cross of the Christian. That's our duty, just to carry the burden of the things of God. The burden of the Lord, the burden of the things. That's the cross of duty, and sometimes it's a cross of denying self of what we really desire. It's a cross of discipleship that we bear His cross and we tell people about the Lord. The sanctifying power of the cross. You know, Paul, in his life, in his salvation, he just got saved. We can call it a lot of big words, and you can use a lot of... He just got saved. You know what happened to Paul? He met Jesus in a very personal way. Paul said, who art thou? Paul said, Lord, who are you? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. I'm the one you're after. I'm the one that has power over you, and you're trying to destroy my work, Paul. That's who I am. And Paul had a he had an encounter with the Lord of glory. He had an encounter with that one that he had heard about that was crucified and that was buried. And he heard the stories and probably was told how false the story of the resurrection was. He had heard all those things. And he persecuted the church of God. And he met Jesus that day. And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus whom you persecute." Buddy, from that time on, Paul had a different perspective of the ministry and the glory of the cross. The power of God. He just got old-fashioned salvation. That's what everybody needs. We have a lot of churches tonight. And again, I refer back to my conversation with Brother Fayard. He says, "I have a book," and I used to have it, or I have read parts of it. He said, "I have a book in my library that back in the 70s was written and says it's the 10 fastest growing largest churches in the country." And he said, "Out of those 10, they're all gone." What happened? I'll tell you what happened. We got a lot of people in, and we filled the pews and we packed them out, but we didn't give them salvation. They didn't get saved. Generation has gone by now, 72, 82, 92, 02, 012. A generation has gone, even more than a generation, and we see the fruits of that. And we have churches all across our country that are run by unregenerate people. They're lost. And a church that goes down that pathway never comes back. I can think of some of the great churches when I was just getting started. Thrill my soul to think about what was going on. I mean, the preacher stood and preached, but yet they had some things going on that was putting a death rattle in them. And we need to realize, we just need to make sure people get saved. One of the things of the Baptist Church is that we believe in a regenerated membership. We believe in salvation, that a person has to be saved. Now, that brought on a lot of trouble in colonial America. Baptist people were different. Why, the Baptists wouldn't even take the baptism from those other churches because they wasn't saved. And that caused a lot of trouble. But you know what that did? That kept the churches that were called Baptists, that kept them pure. That kept them having people come in that didn't know God. That shut the door, and that closed the door to that openness of just taking everything. Boy, the doors are open now. Just anything goes. Anything and everything goes, and that's why we have anything and everything in the church. Paul was a man sold out to God. And he said, I glory in the cross. If I glory, it's because of what Christ has done. Paul was a man that was not only sold out to God, but he just said, everything I've got and everything that I've ever had is nothing more than the waste, the dung of this world when compared to Christ. Paul was a man that was not afraid. If he had to die for the cause of Christ, he had to die. But he was going to stand. Philippians 1, verse 21, Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." To live, I live for Christ. If I have to die, I gain eternity. I gain heaven. Had the right perspective of life. Had the right perspective of death. Paul was a man that knew who he was. He just knew what God had done for him, how the Lord had blessed him. And he said, "I know that Christ came to the world to save sinners, and I'm nothing. I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the least of the apostles. I'm the least of the saints. But Christ came and died for me." That puts you in the right position, right place. Paul knew who he was. Paul knew everything that he needed. Paul was determined. He said, "None of these things are going to move me." I believe you and I tonight, we ought to be determined. There's some things not going to move us. Some things not going to distress us. And he said, there in Acts chapter 20, Luke said concerning Paul, he says, "I count my life dear. Neither count I my life dear to myself, but I'm going to finish my course with joy. I'm going to finish." Paul was a man that had conviction in his life. Paul was a man that had the blessed hope. He said, "I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." He said, but I really need to stay here, but I want to go there. I really need for me to stay here to help you, but boy, my heart is tugging for there. And I believe that ought to be the heart's desire of every Christian. That's the glory of the cross. To have that understanding. And when Paul got down to the end of his life, you know the verses there in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, I fought a good fight. I'm sure Paul recognized he didn't win all the battles, but he fought a good fight. And he says, I finished my course. You see, the Lord, when the Lord saved him, if you go back to Acts chapter 9, right there in that passage of Scripture, the Lord lays out the life of Paul. He said, I've called him for this purpose. And he lays out. He says, he's going to preach to the Jews. He's going to preach to the Gentiles. He's going to preach to kings. And he did all three of them. And Paul says, I finished my course. Everything's okay. I've kept the faith. I haven't turned back. Haven't rolled back my standards. And by the way, when you roll back your standards, you never go back where you were. Oh, you may make the trail back a little ways, but you usually never go back to where you once were. That happens in churches. That happens in homes. That happens in nations. You never get it all back because you've lost it. And Paul said, I have finished my course. Said that all these things are well and good. And he said, there's a crown of righteousness for me. I tell you what, we ought to glory in the cross. Not just that stick of wood that was stuck in the ground and had a crossbar across it, but we glory because of who died on the cross. It was not a cross of rejection. It was not just the cross of reception. But His cross was the cross of redemption. Praise the Lord tonight. We glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that we might one day live for Him and with Him. Let's stand together tonight.